Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. I hope you, if you're in the United States of America, I hope you have had a nice long President's Day weekend. I think when we have a holiday for presidents, it refers to people who used to be president. Like before we were all adults. It doesn't seem like what would the rancor in this country that anybody wants to celebrate any president of the last 30, 40? Who are we really honoring here? What presidents? George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and FDR. Who else is there? Tell me. Who else is there? That's who we're talking about. We're talking about one. We're talking about 11. 16, whatever Lincoln was, Washington, Adams, Jefferson, those 1, 2, 3. I don't think anybody's celebrating Joe Biden. I don't think anybody's celebrating Donald Trump. I mean, aside from people who love him. Again, Republicans. Democrats do not love Joe Biden. I want to be very clear about that. I speak for all white men. It's remarkable how much you love a guy, and I understand it's because he represents a thing, but it's funny, no Democrat likes Joe Biden. Like, you love, anyway, happy President's Day weekend, a long weekend in the United States of America. We have a federally observed holiday on February 19th, so all of a sudden, just like that, it's Tuesday. I hope you had a great long weekend. And you were able to spend some time with people that you care about, realizing the world is a wild place. I hope you liked the podcast last Friday, where I had a little bit of energy. I spoke about three or four things. I thought cogently, probably in retrospect, called Putin an asshole too many times. But can you really call Vladimir Putin? Dude, you were favored by like 45 points. And everybody had the under for that war at 3 months. And you're still running around, fingers crossed that Europe and the United States doesn't keep funding Ukraine because you can't get a W. Soft and sad. Sad Vlad. And you had to go poison like an evildoer in a Disney movie. You had to go poison Navalny again, I think. I don't know how they got him this time. Sad Vlad. Dude. I have all kinds of respect for Russian people, but man, that Vladimir Putin. Also, geopolitically, and that's where I am for just a moment. I'm going to talk about the SDSU women's basketball game that I went to with my daughter. I feel like just a little bit of a top line, a headline of structure, a table of contents, an outline, an agenda. I'm going to talk about, so you can bail if you want. You're going to miss a lot of good stuff if you jump off the podcast, but you're going to, you're welcome to leave. I'm going to talk not about Navalny, not about Putin. I'm going to talk to going to the basketball game with my daughter on Saturday, and then I'm going to read I'm going to read first a letter from Central. Actually, I'll talk about the basketball game, and then I'll read the letter. I got a letter from former Central Jersey prosecutor about my remarks about Fannie Willis and how she was just like, I'm here, let's chop it up. And the people that were yelling at her were kind of accustomed to, I feel like, playing an upper hand. Maybe it was some power and other structural demographic issues going on. And Central Jersey prosecutor, I read the first thing that said he watched most of it, and I'm going to share with you what that former Central Jersey prosecutor, would you also write in and let me know, say something wise about the police, please. Because I know that I have a very simplistic view of the police. I don't, though, believe that most of them are good. I don't. I don't think that all of them are kneeling on people's necks while they're crying out for their mothers. I do think they all lie, or would all lie. I know that the ones that stand up and tell the truth are ostracized. Would you just And I do believe they're agents of fascism, but you know what? They also like to drink beer and ride in boats and three-wheelers and stuff. It's the help me on. You know what? I'm reaching out to you for, former Central Jersey prosecutor, with 100% seriousness. You've listened to this podcast, it sounds like, for a while. Help me understand my own thinking about the police, because I realize, for every true thing I say about the police, like they lie, they enforce and extend fascism, that they're violent and self-protective and sustaining. They're like a gang. They're like an officially endorsed gang. Like they're supported gang, right? You see any documentary, it's in the most miserable town in the world, but then they show the police station and it's glittering, super well funded by taxpayer dollars. They are agents of the institution. I everything I say, right? They kill minorities and they lie about it. They shoot. But I also know that I'm full of shit because I am not as... I would not do the job. I was going to say I'm not as brave. I'm not running into some fucking felon's house while he's armed and on meth like some cops do. That, and I know... So what I'm saying is I understand that there's a limit to my shit talking because I wouldn't do that. I know I wouldn't. But I also... It's not the man, it's the institution. And it's like any man, I suppose. The more you add men to one thing, the more suspicious we all should be of that thing. The group of men, of which I am one. That's why you shouldn't be suspicious of me, because clearly I'm a lone wolf. Anyway, former Central Jersey prosecutor. I know the DA historically has a challenging relationship with the cops. Ostensibly, they're on the same team trying to bring justice to the world. But I know it doesn't always work that way. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the police and or your interpretation of my thinking about the police, the institution and the individuals. Because I know, like I said, I know there's a... My shit talking is not airtight, I feel like, for my own code, because I would not put on a goddamn gun. I would not, with or without a gun, race into some dangerous situation. I'm like the police in Uvalde, Texas. They wouldn't do that either. You know what I mean? Like, so that's a cheap joke. But it's also true. Those guys didn't do anything, just like the security guard in the Marjorie Stoneman didn't do shit. Just like half of the people that invaded the Capitol were cops. You know what I mean? And again, I'm not... There's a fallacy. Would I have run into that school in Uvalde, Texas, and demonstrated more bravery than those fucking pussies that didn't? And if I would not, do I have any right to call them pussies? You know what I mean? I'm not saying this lightly. I think if I were a cop, the beat I would have is to walk a football coach across the field at the end of the game, find my counterpart from the other county in Alabama, have these two millionaires shake hands, and then just go back to the bus and enjoy my pension. Former Central Jersey prosecutor, help me understand policing in America. Because certainly it's different, even though I imagine you were a DA in the 80s, when it was the war on everything. But it's become more, hasn't it? The cops look like an occupying army to me. Or is everybody special forces? Anyway, I know I'm full of shit, but I also... Help me understand where I hit the mark and where I missed the mark. That would be great. And if you want to share your perspective, since we haven't heard from LNC in a while, I will greatly appreciate that. So, I want to talk first about formal... I want to very briefly talk about the basketball game, which was a blast. And that's all I really will say about it. There are not a lot of people at San Diego State women's basketball games, so you feel special being there. And dare I say, you feel like they care about you. Like people smile at you that work for San Diego State, that work for Viejas Arena. My daughter and I went over there Saturday about 11:30. We parked. She was very stressed out again that I was going to pay for the parking. Or would I pay? Or please, Dad, I know it just kind of makes me anxious. Like, you're five. Why do you have anxiety about anything? And then B, I guess because your brain is growing and you're realizing the world. Or your parents are creating bonds of insecure attachment with you. Whatever the case is, well, what do you mean you're anxious? Why does it make you anxious? And what do you care about a fucking parking meter? I don't want to get a ticket. I don't want to waste money. But sweetheart, you have to understand. If you feel, so here's what I say to her. If you feel it, it's real. And you've heard me say on the podcast, I'm trying to be more and more mindful of like not doing that solving. Like, dude, don't worry about it. It's not a parking thing. That is not going to do it, right? Like, you know, when she said some girl was mean to me and I said, she said some girl was not mean to her. So it's not nice to her at school. And I said, what'd she say? Like, I'm interrogating the weight of that mean. Right. When my wife just says, oh, I'm sorry, girl. Right. So I say to her, hey, lady, if you feel it, it's real. I understand that. And I do not want you to feel anxious about it. But I don't want to take that away from you. And this is either the softest ass parenting of all time or the worst parenting of all time. I should just say, shut the fuck up. It's not worth it. Don't give a shit. But I say to her, I just want you to know, because you don't have a lot of experience with parking and parking tickets and parking enforcement officers, also known as meter maids, that the actual real life walking around in the world consequence of getting a ticket, while unfortunate and while frustrating and irritating and expensive at times, is not like, and this is what I said to her, I just want you to know, it's not like a dinosaur bursting into your room. And then she said, a T-Rex? Yes, it's not like that. And then she said, or like a tornado of animals that wants to hurt you? Like, yeah, like that. Like, what kind of animals? Like tigers in a tornado? Yeah, like Sharknado. It is not that thing. I try to convey that message to her. So, spend about, takes 10, 12 minutes to get to San Diego State from where we live. Takes about another 2 hours and 45 minutes to figure out how the parking app works and surrendering all of my personal information and still having this roadblock and hurdle for myself in the year 2024 is so dumb. I know. What is your license plate number? What is your parking spot? Where were you born? What's your email address? What's your phone number? What's your credit? Like, bro, just put some asshole in the box and I'll give him my money. But here we are. I'm doing parking enforcement. And I say to her, girl, this is a waste of our time. And it's worth $20 a ticket, $20 parking ticket to just get into the gym right now. But I'm going to pay this. I said to her, I did this all for you. I said, I'm paying it because I don't want you to worry. I literally spent 10 minutes through the phone trying to pay parking. And I wouldn't have done this with an adult, but I'm kind of indulging being a baby with my own child. The parking for 2 hours at the parking structure, at the end of all of this, at the end of my daughter's stress and frustration, at the end of my own stress and frustration of trying to pay it through the phone without downloading the app, the total price for parking, $6.35. Dude, what are we doing here? Is there not another way I can give you $6 $1 bills, 3 dimes, and a nickel without surrendering all of this information and trying to type all this shit into the phone while I have a 5-year-old saying, is it paid? Did you pay it? Are they going to come get us? So then we're off. We cross the street. We are part of the ones of people pouring into the Viejas Arena on the campus of San Diego State University. As a matter of fact, we're the only people I see walking into the gates through the turnstile, through the turnstiles. I mentioned we bought courtside tickets. They was tickets that were $20. So far, $46. Two tickets, $40. Parking, $6.35. We're in, and because the parking took, or I should say, I took so long to pay the parking, I'm not going to blame it on the parking. We're in and looking at the court, and for 3 minutes, when all of a sudden the announcer comes on and says, "Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to San Diego State Basketball." And there are lights and bright lights and music and people in pink, I think, because in part it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, or it's, I don't know, or just because it's women's basketball. I don't know. I think there's a breast cancer or some sort of cancer thing happening. My daughter is blown away by all the pink. And there is only like, there are two levels. There is the entrance level, and then there's floor. So you enter, and then you have to walk down to get to the court. 40, 50 rows. It's a really cool gym, this building, Viejas Arena, where I've seen years ago, I saw Rage Against the Machine and Tool. So it's a great venue. Anyway, we walk all the way down to the bottom. By the time we get down to the floor, they're doing player introductions, which are just, you know, as somebody who used to play basketball and gone to a lot of basketball games, it's part of the best, you know, it's the best player introductions. Like, yeah, let's fucking go, put hype music on, come out, lay up lines, low fives for everybody. A 6'6 sophomore from Bethesda, Maryland, number 25, David Wingate. You know what? It's like, it's really cool. A 6'6 freshman from wherever, North Carolina, Michael Jordan is from. Michael Jordan, number 23, Michael Jordan. It's pretty cool. So they do the opposition team first. And the opposition team is Utah State, USU. And I looked, and they're not very good. San Diego State, mid-pack in the middle of their own conference. Utah State, not very good at all. And then they put, so they do the introductions for Utah State. And all the lights are on, and the announcer's like, and so-and-so, so-and-so. And the next player, so-and-so, so. You know, just kind of like reading through it. But when San Diego State's turn, as you know, all the lights come down. The music comes on. Kind of some banging music, and now the starting lineups for your San Diego State. Like it's hype time, and my daughter's just blown away by this. We get down after the introductions. It's dark, and I'm like, "Is she gonna freak out?" I didn't think she's gonna freak out, but I was kind of. That's what I thought was gonna happen, Clark. Oh. Yes? Sometimes I want to say to my dogs, but really more to the other dogs in the neighborhood, there will be other dogs. You know? Because I take my dogs out for a walk every evening, and invariably there are like 7 houses that we walk by, and the dogs that live there just go apeshit. Maybe like my dogs just did right now. But I want to say to them, like, you're doing your job. You're a soldier. You're letting your owner know there's someone outside. But also, you're crying wolf because this happens a lot, you know? We get down to our seats. So I was curious, like, how is she going to like this when all the lights go off and then it's just flashing bright lights? And she liked it just fine. We get all the way down to our seats. We're courtside. We are on the court. It's awesome. And this guy sitting next to me, or, you know, a few chairs. And by the way, there's plenty of courtside seats available if you want. And what you really need to do is you don't need to spend $20. In my youth, I was one of the great get a cheap ticket and then make your way all the way down to the more expensive seats. I still can do that if I need to. They certainly, they've, you know, as the tick, as the income inequality has spread, and the haves really do not want the have-nots around, they put more and more security in between them and us to keep us getting into those really good seats. But you can still do it. You're not going up against the CIA, and if you were, you'd be failing at overthrowing some fucking government. So you can do it. You can get past the staff pros, and you can get past the red and yellow jackets if you needed to. I don't really do that anymore, but I can. And younger people, people still trying to get into, you know, free this or they're having this sort of event and you don't belong. All you have to do is just act like it. Just don't look around. Don't ask questions. Don't look. Just walk up and say, yeah, hey, can I get a bottle of Heineken, please? And what time does the speaker start? Just like that. Just make it look like you belong there. Just, and it's all confidence. That's it. Easy when you look, when you're as handsome as I am, and you're blessed like I am. So the guy a few seats next to me, all you need to do is buy a $6 seat. That's what general admission costs for these games. So I don't imagine basketball, women's basketball, is a revenue-generating sport. But I sure as hell am glad that it exists, because it's so awesome to see my daughter watching these women. And San Diego State basketball coach, she has pink jeans on, which my daughter immediately grabs her attention. It's like, look at her pink pants. Those are super cool. And then later on, we show my wife, and my wife's like, oh, yeah, I like her. I like her her heels, too. As a matter of fact, we found highlights on YouTube of the game put out by San Diego State. And if you're really, really jonesing for what I look like courtside from behind, you can see us in the very far right corner. My hair looks like Ace Ventura's for some reason, but we're down in the very right. You only see the back of us, but you can see us like in the first, you know, first half of the game, all the way down at the bottom, clapping, doing our thing. The guy sitting a few chairs next, buy a $6 ticket and then just walk down. That's what we were going to do. We're going to go back on Wednesday, but there's a family dinner, so we're not going to do it. But I think we're involved. My daughter and I are going to be San Diego State women's basketball fans. Anyway, buy a $6 ticket, get all the way down to the court, and you're in $20 seats. And the guy sitting two or three seats down from me, he has two little girls with him, and they have all sorts of snacks that they clearly have brought from home. Lesson learned. Thank you, sir. And I'm not alone, obviously. There's kind of a vibe of, you know, this is for women, and we support it. And the guy next to me, the simp, the guy I'm talking about with all the snacks, he was wearing a hat that said op. So it's a play on opportunity, but it's three lines. It says op her tunity. Get it? And he's got two daughters with him. Op her tunity. So there was a bit of a girl dad vibe there. And it was fun. I was watching Utah State is terrible, so which is great because it makes San Diego State look really good. They won by like 28 or something. And five San Diego State players. Here's how bad Utah State is. Five San Diego State players scored in double figures. So everybody was eating. And my daughter's favorite players starts with the ones that have the best braids. And then after that, she likes the ones who make the most baskets. And it was great. We stayed courtside for the first half. Then we went up and had another hot dog. It was like my fourth. I've had more hot dogs in the last 2 months than I have had in the last 25 years. And like I've said before, hot dogs are delicious. Who knew? Whether they come from Costco, whether they come from the San Diego Gulls game, whether they come from San Diego State, hot dogs are pretty good. A little mustard. I mean, Lord knows, my daughter's like, what is in them? I'm like, whatever is left over when they sweep the floor of the slaughterhouse and throw it into the garbage, that's what they bake and put in there. But it's still delicious. I'm going to throw up just thinking about that. The highlight of the game was being down on the floor, hearing the girls talk to each other. But my daughter's head is blown away because she's never been to a game before. So to the right across from us is Utah State bench. Across Caddy Corner, I guess is how you say it, San Diego State bench. But all around us, we have the San Diego State cheerleaders. And then behind us, the San Diego State dance team. And then the San Diego State band. And all this stuff is happening. And I just see like these new neuronal formations happening in my daughter's head. Halftime entertainment is the girl who throws the baton 7 miles into the sky, spins around 45 times, and catches it between her legs backward. It was awesome. And my daughter, like I said, her brain is just exploding. We go up, halftime, get some hot dogs. I had a brat. That's where they get you, obviously. This is why the guy next to me had his from home stuff, where you could probably bring, I don't want to use firearms, but you could, it's hard to imagine what you could not bring from home there. This guy had a lot of snacks with him. I don't know how he got them. I mean, he probably just walked in and they didn't care. But that's where they get you. They get you at the concessions, because that was like another 2 hot dogs, 2 chips, 2 drinks. That's like 40 right there. So that's the bite at concessions. But, you know, my daughter wanted a hot dog and M&M's, and then she didn't realize yellow M&M's have nuts. And she was like, these are not as good. I'm like, I could have told you that if you would have just asked. Anyway, it was really fun. We had a good time. We stayed the whole time. Highlight was being on the floor, hearing the girls talk, watching their braids. The other highlight for my daughter and me was that when San Diego State scored more than 75 points, that meant the next day you get a free taco at Rubio's, which we did not take advantage of. All right, that was just a summary of what the game was like. It was enjoyable. It feels like you're at a minor league baseball game. It's very, very accessible, and I look forward to going to the next one. We can't go tomorrow night because we have a family dinner, like I said, but we will be back, definitely. On the last podcast, last Friday's podcast, I mentioned that there was something going on with Fonnie Willis handling her business at when she was being grilled about inappropriate relationships with an investigator, an attorney in her office, or was hired by her, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, former Central Jersey prosecutor, tell me what you think about this. And he wrote in. How about that? So, if you're not aware of the story, this is adieu. I will talk to you on Friday. Have a great day. But if you are aware of Fonnie Willis and you want to hear what a former district attorney has to say about it, here you go. On the Getting My Act Together podcast. Hi, Joe. I watched almost all of the court proceedings. I am very impressed with the judge. Okay. Which I guess if you're an attorney, that's what you want. You want a judge who's like, knows what the fuck they're doing, right? Pardon my language. But like a judge like, all right, this person has this proceeding under control. What about the judge? Tell me what you think about the judge in the Trump New York thing where, I guess there were two of them, right? How many times is Trump in the soup? Former Central Jersey prosecutor right now. Will Donald Trump ever have to pay one dime penalty? Or is it all going to be appealed forever and will go away and it'll be just like a nice charade? Or he'll be elected and, you know, make some dictatorial thing. Is there any chance that he feels any pain from this? And Trump is ordered to pay $450 million or whatever it is. Is he going to... It's just cartoon, right? Because he's a master of the universe. Even though he's not a master of the universe relative to like a guy who owns a hedge fund or two or runs Amazon. Those guys are the masters of the universe. Trump is like JV compared to those guys. But he's not... Is he going to have to pay a dime? Is any of this going to impact him personally? Or does he just go over to like a campaign fund and say, here's $400 million? I don't know. Let me know, please. I'm curious. All right, so obviously you want a judge that does the right thing. I watched almost all of the court proceedings. I'm very impressed with the judge. The defendants are trying to have Willis and her office disqualified from the prosecution of this massive RICO case involving 18 defendants, including Trump, for various efforts to try and change the election results in Georgia for the last presidential election. Sir, that's a beautiful summary right there. Thank you. Yeah, the defendants are trying to have Willis and her office disqualified. So Fannie Willis is the prosecutor. She's not the defendant. And I lived in Atlanta. I lived in Georgia, sir, when they were trying to do that. And I don't know what it was like in Jersey, but when they were trying to do that in Georgia, I felt personally affronted and offended. And then I remember Texas tried to sue somehow to stop our votes from counting and shit. It's like, and there is nothing about me that is disenfranchised. I want to be very clear about that. But I felt something akin to the smallest amount of disenfranchised relative to what people who are truly and actively disenfranchised in this country must feel every fucking day, by the way. Whatever group we're talking about. I'm just saying there's not a lot about me that's ever disenfranchised just because I won. I won the genetic sweepstakes around what the fucking system favors. I'm not saying it's better and all this Aryan bullshit. You know that. But I was in Georgia when they were like saying, hey, your votes don't count. Hey, fuck you, man. And Texas was trying to sue to invalidate our election or something like that. And don't ever forget Brad Raffensperger stood up to the president of the United States. All right. He goes on to say, the defense obtained information from various sources, including Wade's ex-wife. Okay, that's the guy that is accused of having, I'll just read. Wade is the person who had the relationship with Fannie Willis. The defense obtained information, this is from a former Central Jersey prosecutor wrote this in. The defense obtained information from various sources, including Wade's ex-wife, about alleged improprieties. Okay. The allegation suggests that Willis hired Wade, who had no other felony prosecution experience, to be a special prosecutor at $250 an hour, and that he has received more than $600,000. Okay, so I'm pausing here. Impropriety is just that. That's like me, sir, hiring my girlfriend who has no experience, and then I pay her $250 an hour, which is going to come from, I imagine, taxpayer dollars. My taxpayer dollars. Fannie, what are you doing? You're playing the game like everybody else plays the game. That's what you're doing. Doesn't make it right. Okay, the allegations suggest that Willis hired Wade, who had no other felony prosecution experience, to be a special prosecutor at $250 per hour, and that he has received more than $600,000. That is a lot of $250 per hour. How many? Let's just do the math real quickly. 600, 1, 2, 3. I should be able to do this more quickly. Divided by 250. That's 2,400 hours. It's like 60 hours. What is that? 60, sorry, everyone. $600,000 divided by 250 an hour. That's 2,400 hours divided by, let's say, a 40-hour work week. That's 60 weeks. All right, for more than a year, she paid him $250 an hour is what you're saying. A lot. That's a lot of money. Okay. At some time, and he says, unclear as to when it started, she was having a secret sexual affair with him. Well, affair. What does an affair mean? A secret sexual relationship with him is really what it is. It's an affair, I guess, if one of them's cheating, right? Was he cheating or was she cheating? Or stepping out on their spouse? Otherwise, it's just a sexual relationship, right? At some time, unclear as to when it started, she was having a secret sexual affair with him, and that they took several, quote, vacations where the billing of many thousands of dollars was paid by Wade. Several vacations, well, I'm sorry, sir. Took several vacations where the billing of many thousands of dollars was paid by Wade. She claims to have paid her share back to him in cash. Why can't I understand this? Maybe it's a typo. All right, she's having a relationship with him. They took... Sorry, if you know and you're like, dude, this is what happened, tell me. That's fine. But I can't figure this out. She took several vacations where the billing of many thousands of dollars was paid by Wade. Oh, so okay, sorry. Maybe you're just saying they went on these trips and Wade paid for the vacations. Aha, I see. And it's dirty if Fonnie Willis is funneling money to Wade that he then uses to take them on vacation? Right, okay, so now it's like, I'm in charge, I have my girlfriend working for me, and I get San Diego County to pay me a bunch of money, I get San Diego County to pay my girlfriend a bunch of money, and then I'm like, hey, sweetie, why don't you take me on a nice trip? And she's like, yeah, no problem. I got all this money that you helped me get. I see. Okay. That's right, sir, right? So they went on expensive vacations that he paid for, I think is what I'm reading here. She claims to have paid her share back to him in cash. All right, so now we're going to go Dutch, and then he's only on... In any case, all this money comes from Fulton County taxpayers, of which I am one. So my dollar goes to the DA's office, then it goes to Wade, and then it goes to the DA's office, then it goes to Fonnie Willis as part of her compensation that she uses. All right, so I've sent them on this vacation. He says, these trips included a trip to Belize, smoke trees in Belize, Napa, California, and others. The suggestion was that Willis use taxpayers' money to pay for her secret dalliance. All right, he just said what I took 10 minutes trying to figure out. The suggestion was that Willis use taxpayers' money to pay for her secret dalliance. As part of the proceedings, she and Wade submitted sworn affidavits containing facts that are going to be challenged as lies. The court is going to decide if the lies and other matters require disqualification. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's not good. It's going to make them look like, clowns that don't know what they're doing, I guess. Then he goes on. During the proceeding, Wade testified, that's the lover of Fonnie Willis. During the proceeding, an employee also. During the proceeding, Wade testified in an appropriate manner as a witness, and I frankly was impressed with his appearance. It appeared as if Willis was not going to... All right, so Wade, former Central Jersey prosecutor, said Wade did a great job. He was impressed by him. It appeared as if Willis was not going to testify when... This is what he says. When she literally bolted into the courtroom and insisted she wanted to testify. She used her time on the stand to emotionally state her case. I don't like emotion in law, sir. I like facts, but, to emotionally state her case. Some people viewed her presentation as bold and assuring, I being one of them in the snippet that I saw on TV. Some people viewed her presentation as bold and assuring. Others saw it as a grandstanding effort. Okay. I would love to know the demographics of the people who saw it one way and the demographics of the people who saw it the other way, just out of curiosity. And he says, like a seasoned veteran of the law, of the bar, I can understand both takes. My view was that she was a witness and didn't behave. He says he can understand both takes. My view was that she was a witness and didn't behave properly. The judge had to warn her a couple of times. Okay. Maybe I'm a traditionalist. What does that mean, sir? But a woman should keep her mouth shut. But I believe a prosecutor should be ethical and play by the rules. I found her unable to do so. She may be an able lawyer, but she's a lousy witness. Okay. You know better than I. But is she really a witness here? I guess you're saying, yeah, she is a witness, dude. Or is she just getting up there to respond to allegations? I guess that's what you do. From what I've seen so far, he goes on, from what I've seen so far, I don't believe the defense motion will prevail, which means she will keep her job and keep going after these 18 people in this massive RICO thing. However, she and her office will not be looked upon favorably by a majority of the public outside of Atlanta. No, I said that outside of Atlanta. He said, however, she and her office will not be looked upon favorably by a majority of the public. And I'm suggesting maybe that is from people who are outside of Atlanta, because a majority of people in Atlanta would be like, yeah, she didn't take any shit. And maybe that's not the forum to not take any shit. Maybe that might not be the best approach. But I think this kind of is adjacent to what I was saying about these different factors happening in an Atlanta courtroom versus not a Central Jersey courtroom, but maybe a Philadelphia courtroom or a Brooklyn courtroom. However, she and her office will not be looked upon favorably by a majority of the public. Not good for those of us who want to see Trump successfully prosecuted. Okay, so former Central Jersey prosecutor, I know you are a busy, busy person, or I perceive you to be. And then he closes by saying, best wishes, former Jersey Central prosecutor. I think it rolls off my tongue better to say former Central Jersey prosecutor. His last sentence there is, this is not good for those of us who want to see Trump successfully prosecuted. I just want to see that somebody would be, and I know I am delusional, that somebody would be, get the same, somebody would be, what do you say? Held accountable as I would be. So what I would like to know, sir, is this. Thank you, by the way, thank you very much for writing in. Anybody else who wants to write in about Fonnie Willis or anything else going on in the world, feel free to do so. I'm happy to engage your curiosity and whatever else you have to throw my way. So thank you for writing in. Not good for those of us who want to see Trump successfully prosecuted. Former Central Jersey prosecutor, like I said, I know or I perceive you to be a busy person. I want to know, will Trump feel, and I'm not talking about the man's psyche, will he feel any pain from any of these goddamn investigations and any of these suits, legal matters, cases that he has? Will he feel any pain? Meaning, will he have to pay one penny to somebody? Will he have to? Will he pay 1 cent of a fine? I'm not talking about reputation, you know. And people like Trump worship Trump. People don't like him. Doesn't matter. The verdict on Donald Trump is set in the United States of America by those who support him and those who don't. I'm talking about, will he feel any pain financially? Will he like lose a business? Will he be made to fork over a golf course? Will his movements, any of his rights, as if he were to be convicted, any of his rights be curtailed, infringed upon, however you want to say it, you, former Central Jersey prosecutor, myself, anyone else listening to this podcast, we would be writing checks until our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren are dead and buried, and we would be in prison, I'm sure, for any number of these things. Will Donald Trump, and this is the central question for a Central Jersey prosecutor, will he feel any pain? I'm so curious. Please help me with that, and if you don't mind, would you help me understand my relationship, accurate or inaccurate, about the police? Please let me know, and everyone else, including former Central Jersey prosecutor, have a great week ahead, and I'll talk to you on Friday.